Thank you for joining us tonight or this morning. You're listening to Coast AM. My name is Connie Willis. And that's Jimmy Buffett. Oh, let's hear it. A little parrot head music for you. How long has it been since you've heard something like that? You know, I lived on Siesta Key and Longboat Key for a long time. That's Sarasota area of Florida. And man, that's how you live, like that. On the boats, listening to Buffett. Didn't matter how many times you heard the tunes. And again, the synchronicity with my dad, for sure. That was his tune. Juicy Fruit. What a great tune. Memories, memories, memories. Will Champion, coming up next. With stations all over the U.S., North America, Puerto Rico, Guam, and by satellite, it's Coast to Coast AM that you're tuned into. This is Connie Willis. We're talking with Will Champion, author, speaker, conspiracist. And Will, you were about to get into the Matrix with us and really get in deep here. So sorry to interrupt you, but we are ready to go. I've got my feet propped up, and I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right.
Well, just need some popcorn. That's right. Okay.
Connie, in our distant past, so-called, with air quotes, primitive cultures throughout the world's space, as it were, everywhere on land, they depicted mankind's extraterrestrial origins. And in fact, history itself proves over the ages, our planet's been visited countless times by beings not of this earth, and some of their modern day humanoid descendants, I'll call them money lords, are the occult masters of their own little universe right here on earth, and the offspring of these unseen conspirators of long ago just happen to be the world's only trillionaires now. And they've conspired to create a tangled web of some of the most evil conspiracies, lies, and cover-ups in history, plotted today by a secret cabal. We all know who they are, these masters of money known as the Illuminati, a secret society of ruthless merchant bankers and big businessmen, totally against humanity and built on complete world domination. But they first must bring the USA completely to its knees. Their ultimate goal is to establish, or rather, I'm sorry, to abolish the sovereignty of all the nations and establish one centralized global government to rule over everyone everywhere, the New World Order. Now, till very recently, that day was really, really close. And to these Illuminati, there's only one operating principle, their golden rule, and that is, those that own the gold make the rules. Am I striking a nerve here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back in time quickly and trace their evolution. Now, for thousands of years, the Dogon people of Africa have believed in strange beings. Some born with tails, and maybe these are reptilians. And these beings they've depicted came from the stars in wondrous flying machines. We know a little bit about that now.
Mm-hmm.
They've mapped all the planets in our solar system, even though they never had telescopes. And their legend included stories about these otherworldly beings. Now, it's plain to see that other cultures reflect the same legends all over the world. And like most Westerners, I was first shocked to learn that ancient Sumerian and Egyptian glyphs still exist that depict the coming of these space travelers to Earth. And we've all seen pictures, or we've been there. I haven't been fortunate enough, but I would love to go to that part of the world and take a look at them for myself. I imagine they are wondrous. But these beings flew about the world in sky chambers that rose straight up into the air and space. And so so it was easy for these ancient ancestors to readily accept these beings from the stars as gods. Even the book of Genesis in the Christian Bible refers to these giant warrior adventurers as the Nephilim, a term which means those who were cast down. And even today, certain modern dictionaries describe them as ancient heroes, men of renown, and they were supposedly the products of unions between heavenly beings and human females. And these giant beings found the earthly daughters to be beautiful and took them as mates. The result were seen to have been very large beings possessing, by comparison with our short-term lifespans now, a great length of life and extremely advanced mental and intuitive abilities. These were the demigods. And we'll have a closer look at such strange otherworldly beings shortly. And that may lead us to understand what the current buzz is all about down in Antarctica.
Antarctica, yeah.
But for a moment, to provide a backdrop to that little story, let's go back in time to 1920s and 30s Germany and meet a group of extraordinary women who would ultimately change the course of history. Let's meet Maria Orsic. Now, this is one of the great untold stories of all time, in my opinion. Maria Orsic was the founder of something called the Viril Society, and that was formed by a group of five very beautiful and charming female psychic mediums, led by the Thule Society medium, Maria Orsic, of course. And it seems that Maria had been getting messages in an unknown language, and she couldn't transcribe them. So she began meeting with key members of the Thule Society, all strikingly beautiful women who had very, very long hair, which they came to believe served as antennas that greatly enhanced their abilities as psychic mediums. I wonder if Lynn would have something to add to that.
I'm sure anyway, he would.
Maria became close with another medium named Sigrun, and that name is related to Sigrun, and that's a Valkyrie and one of Wotan's nine daughters in Norse legend. Well, anyway, these two formed their own group, the Viril Society, and they combined the political ideals of the Order of the Illuminati with the mysticism of the Hindus, Persians, Sumerians, Assyrians, and to a lesser extent, the Christian mystics. And as it turns out, they purportedly were receiving communications from what they describe as Aryan aliens living on Alpha Centauri in the Aldebaran system. Now, allegedly, these aliens had visited Earth and settled in ancient Sumeria, and the word viril is formed from the ancient Sumerian word, which is hyphenated, viril, V-R-I-hyphen-I-L, meaning godlike, or like God. Now, this solar system of Aldebaran is about 68 light years from Earth and has two inhabited planets, as I understand it, which constitute the realm of Sumerian orbit around their sun. And the inhabitants are supposedly divided into masters, white godlike people known as Aryans, A-R-Y-A-N-S, and other different humanoids that later developed because of climate changes on these individual planets. And they were the result of a degeneration of the godlike people. these mutants were having spiritual development inferior to the godlike peoples, but more importantly, the Aldebaran system is where the ancestors of the white people today that exist on Earth, it is said. So, it seems Maria and the others were given information about these alien beings and about a divine force called viril energy, which could be described as an ether system, an ether stream that could be transformed into a physical force, and that force, if you wield it, makes you similar to a god. Now think on that for a moment, and it'll relate to something even more profound I'm going to tell you about very soon now. One day, Maria suddenly went into a trance, and she saw visions and began to gather up telepathic information in a language that was completely foreign to her, and she later wrote many texts in these two mysterious languages. And according to her, these were telepathic messages transmitted from an Aryan godman from Aldebaran. Well, I know, this probably sounds like it's way out where the buses just don't run. But I think I can tie it all together shortly.
Okay.
At any rate, after a time, Maria and the other Viril women collaborated with men from a secret society who recognized these strange writings, and it turns out that the transmitted information contained very precise technical details about how to build a flying disc. Now, the Thule Society financed the construction of a prototype in 1922, tested for 2 years, and then dismantled and stored in the workshop of Messerschmitt in Augsburg. Messerschmitt was a manufacturer of many German warplanes that appeared in combat during World War II. But this craft was presented to Adolf Hitler in 1934, and a second disc-shaped flying machine was built utilizing an electromagnetic anti-gravity propulsion system, and I'm wondering if it was the viril energy. Now, prior to World War II, a fleet of these similar crafts had been constructed for military purposes. They were codenamed Hanabu crafts. There was the Hanabu 2 and the 3, but none of them were suitable for aerial combat. But in 1939, a German aircraft carrier and a whole fleet of more than 100 German submarines sailed to Antarctica and disappeared in bases the Germans had built there and stored several of these flying saucers, their spare parts, and a whole lot of archives of the Viril Society.
And that's what I've heard. There's all these discs in Antarctica that are under the
ice. I believe there's a lot to that. And we now know that some of these Hanabu crafts were about 75 feet in diameter, they could fly and levitate, and could hold a crew of about 8. Their speed was tremendous, and they were equipped with laser cannons. Yeah, probably what we now know to be called the KSK, which could penetrate a 4-inch thick armor plating, and these were mounted on rotating turrets. And these crafts had the ability to fly in space. The Viril Hanabu series continued all the way up to Viril Series 9, and every single one flight tested exclusively by the Viril women.
So,
yes.
Wow. So, that was just interesting what you said, because I was going to ask, when we're talking about disc along the way, or saucers, UFOs, whatever anybody wants to call them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, these are too small. They are only made for these little 3-foot, you know, little guys, like we were talking earlier. Were these made for what size people? You said they would fit 8. What size people would these fit? Were they more for humans or?
Yes, apparently average size, modern day human.
Okay, okay.
Pilot occupants.
Okay.
And proportional, in other words, to us.
For us. Okay. Okay. That was my question. Okay.
Now, in 1944, American intelligence managed to photograph a Viril 7 series taking off from Prague in Czechoslovakia. And the model was being tested for the first time by Sigrun. And Hitler and Himmler were shown photographs of the crafts when it returned. And it seemed, and this is phenomenal, this Viril 7 had traveled for more than a century.
Hmm.
And the outer coating of that craft was very worn and damaged in a whole lot of places. So apparently, the operation they had undertaken was a success.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm getting from this history, which you probably won't find in many history books, if at all, is that these crafts may have had the ability to penetrate and master physics to the extent that they not only conquered space, but time as well.
Time, yeah,
they
absolutely.
Qualified as time machines, mm-hmm, in a certain respect. Now, chew on that for a minute.
I was going to spit it out a minute ago, and I thought, no, I'm going to wait. I'm going to see what he says. You know, you keep me on the edge of my seat here, and everybody else too, I'm sure. But I was going to spit it out. I thought, no, that might be stupid. And then, good. I'm glad my inclinations were correct, sir. Well, Will, if you can hang on there at that point, I'm going to stop you. We're going to take a break so that we don't cut you off right in the middle of it. It'll kill me. Great stuff here. We're listening to Will Champion, everybody. He's the writer of the Dreamland Files, and he's a conspiracist. And when we come back, not only will he give us more information, but I'm going to ask him, how does he know this stuff? All right, so stick with us. I'm Connie Willis. You're listening to Coast AM. And that's Manfred Mann, Blinded by the Light. It's Coast to Coast AM that you're tuned into. I'm Connie Willis. You know, I'm checking up on the website. If you're ever wanting to know what's coming up on Coast, what's going on, what did I miss? Well, that's where you go, is to the website. And it's interesting. This is on Monday night. George has, on the first half of the show, he's got Dr. John Gray coming in. And this time he's going to be talking about the differences between males and females. And he's got this groundbreaking work. I'm looking forward to this because he's got this groundbreaking work now describing the innate differences between men and women. And I'm just reading this here. I'll read it to you. And why being a man or woman in today's society is more nuanced and complex than ever. Also, it talks about how men and women remain fundamentally different in a hormonal level. And he's going to explain what these differences mean and how to overcome them. So, it'll be interesting to hear, you know, the differences between male and female, which I think a lot of us already know. I don't know that we want to overcome anything either. I think it's great that we should all, you know, celebrate our differences. That's how the world turns, folks. So that'll be interesting. So that's going to be on Monday night. And if there's anything else that you want to know about what's going on, where's George going to be so that you can go see him and meet him in person? Because I know a lot of you want to be able to do that. You've heard him for so long. Well, that's where you go. You're going to find out who he's going to talk to next, where he's going to meet, where he's going to have a meet and greet, and where he's going to sing. I want to hear him sing in person. I heard him just on the internet, and I kid you not, I thought it was Elvis. I thought someone was pranking me. I thought that's what they were doing to me, and I thought, I'm getting punked here. He's lip-singing to Elvis, but no, it's his voice. He sounds really good. I was amazed. I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. He can do it all, and that's George Norrie. So any more information, always just go to our website, okay? It's coasttocoastam.com. It's another very interesting show here on Coast to Coast AM. The real theater of the mind happening here. We have Will Champion with us today, giving us some juicy matrix stuff going on. Will, before you continue on with where we left off, please, if you can, tell us, how do you know all this stuff that you're telling us? Where did you get your information?
Well, it's funny you should ask. Sometimes that comes as a result of very, very long, arduous, roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty research. Sometimes it's like pulling that thread that you see hanging off of an old sock. You give it a good yank, and it starts to unravel, and you follow it, and you follow it, and pretty soon... you've come to the end of something, and there's a little gold nugget attached to it, or a whole bunch of them, or an entire story. And interestingly enough, this segment I'm speaking about with the Viril Craft came as a result of not so much hardship or, you know, really gut-busting, you know, terrible research. It was just the result of simply... being in the right place at the right time, and that place and time was down in Roswell, of all places.
Right.
In 2007, right. I attended the Roswell UFO Festival there and met a fellow that, by the name of Don Schmidt, a fellow author and fine researcher, who, as it turns out, is close friends with a woman who was my charge person down at the Roswell, at the Old Base Hospital when I worked there as a young man first in college. And he and I got to talking, and there was some guy that really didn't seem quite to fit in as we were having a conversation, and he seemed to be listening in. And in a few days, I opened up my email, and I don't know how it got in there, but I found an email attachment in my inbox that outlined this whole story, and I never heard of it before, and it was very difficult back then to trace its origins. And believe me, I generally stick to stories that have a foundation and actual fact. I don't like getting far out in the field. But over the years since then, since I was given this information by someone who just wanted me to have it, I guess he had his reasons, there suddenly has been just a tremendous amount of information about this story that one can find on the internet and other places. And it wasn't there before, but suddenly I had a little bit of extra plot material to add into the Dreamland Files. Now, to finish this particular segment up so we can move on, and I'll try to make things wrap up with a nice, you know, in a package with a nice pretty bow on it for you so that it makes sense. Now, and by the way, please, for you and your listeners, I say this sincerely, please do not take my word for anything I'm saying here. I encourage you to do your own research independently and form your own conclusions. I think that's fair. And then, if you want to talk about it with me later, if not, fine. But at least you will have a knowledge base by which you can say, I can accept this or I can't. It's up to you. But don't take my word for it. Anyway, back to Maria and the flying discs.
Yes.
In March of 1945, flying discs Viril 7 and Viril 8, and they gave it a pet name, Odin, took off from Brandenburg after the entire field had been blown up there with all of the Viril women on board, and neither Maria Orsic nor any of the other Viril women were ever found. They had simply disappeared from the face of the earth, and there is no doubt that the intended destination was Aldebaran. Now, how does this relate to history after the fact? Let's go and take a quick look at something called Operation Paperclip.
Oh, yeah. Project Paperclip.
Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of the war, America launched a major operation, and it was codenamed Paperclip, and the objective was to seize any documents on the secret technology, such as this Viril technology from Germany, and relocate key German scientists who worked on it to the United States. And that's when NASA recruited Wernher von Braun, and he was the inventor, of course, of the V-2 missile, and also numerous other Nazi rocket scientists. And they were brought to the United States, and they all ended up working, not surprise, surprise, for the CIA.
Hmm.
And U.S. Special Forces were able to seize technical documents on the Viril 7 before the Russians could nab that stuff. Now, as an offshoot, in 1947, that's a great year.
Yes.
The high jump operation was launched, and a U.S. Navy expedition to Antarctica was also launched under the command of Admiral Byrd, who had at his disposal 6,000 men, a warship, an aircraft carrier fully equipped, and a whole system full of supplies. Now, the official reason this operation was given was for the exploration of Antarctica. And Byrd had 8 months or thereabouts of reserves, but was mysteriously compelled to stop the entire operation after only 8 weeks, and after suffering, and get this, large losses of aircraft. The exact number of missing was never communicated. During his stay there, he said he discovered something extraordinary, and that was the passage into the hollow earth and people of superior beings who live there, according to the logbook that he generated by hand. Now, these subterranean beings were using flying discs which were marked with swastikas. And he made notes in his diary about the Viril. Now, interestingly, physicist Wilhelm Reich said it was possible, through some cosmic energy, to create propulsion systems for UFOs, and he named this energy orgone, which is most likely that same Viril energy we touched on earlier. Now, this huge, mysterious Antarctic anomaly stretches for a distance around 150 miles across and reaches a maximum depth of nearly 3,000 feet. And it's in the area of Antarctica known as Wilkes Land. And until 2006, scientists have had no idea or any way to discover exactly what's buried down deep under this thick ice shell. But that's when a strange shape beneath Antarctica was first found by NASA satellite imagery. And in 2016, I keep wanting to go back to 1947.
Yes.
In 2016, a bizarre story claiming there's a mysterious pyramid in the Antarctic began to emerge. I'm sure you probably have heard some buzz about that.
Oh, yeah.
And subsequently, world leaders, such as former Secretary of State John Kerry, scientists and military men, have traveled to Antarctica to visit what's been described as an alien base within that pyramid, and not one of them's talking about it publicly. But that hasn't kept word of these mysterious discoveries getting out. In fact, former NASA astronaut Buzz Aldrin went there only months ago, but suddenly became violently ill and had to return home. And he's since been sending messages. They seem to be cryptic in nature, and they're encouraging us to get to Mars ASAP, and his reasoning may soon become clear. It seems that the ruins of a 1.8 billion-year-old civilization are being excavated down there, Connie, complete with advanced technological miracles beyond our wildest imagination, plus a lot of animals and giant pre-Adamites, and these are intelligent but non-human creatures that existed before the biblical character Adam, and they are strange-looking body types and elongated skulls, and they're in a flash frozen state. So
is that in Antarctica?
Yes.
Wow. And I mean, I haven't heard some of that. I've heard some of this, but not. Wow. You're right. We're going to cross some lines into juiciness. And you're getting this information. I know you don't like to say anything unless you've substantiated it.
Well, I have substantiated it in as much as I can. I haven't been down there, so I haven't been on site to look and see for myself, and the reasons are pretty obvious. You cannot go as a civilian to that area of the Earth. It's just not permitted. It seems to be the domain reserved to world governments and scientists, and particularly military. And very little in the way of factual information is coming forth as a result. So what we have is stuff that's been shrouded in secrecy, and that's very, very hard to actually get a grip on. But evidence does strongly suggest that the beings there may have come to Earth about 55 to 65,000 years ago, from a planet within our solar system that became uninhabitable. I don't know what that is. I can't get specifics. I'm working on it. Apparently, from what I've been able to gather, they've created hybrids of their species and the indigenous human population. Records are said to exist in the Vatican Library that claim their offspring, according to the descriptions, live among us today and are connected with the royal houses of Europe, along with other subterranean races of controllers said to have been discovered there. One, a very large, violent repto-humanoid race called the Draco, or the Draco. And some researchers now speculate that, as fantastic as it may seem, Antarctica may be the lost island of Atlantis.
Wow, lots of nice little, you're unlocking a lot of neat little doors here. Do they also think that, you know, with these hybrids, that, you know, possibly hybrids have come from that are walking amongst us, do they also maybe possibly even think that's where man began?
Oh,
you know, for us humans, you know.
There is a whole can of worms, isn't it?
What do you think?
Well,
What do you think, Mr. Will Champion?
My thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I think most of us are comfortable knowing our genetic code. I mean, we're sophisticated, and your coast listeners are the best educated on this planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're hip. They're savvy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know that our genetic code, or we're fairly certain by all the evidence, and it can be traced back eons of time. Well, our genetic code is what makes us human rather than something else. Human as
right.
we know human
right.
in that definition. But by now, it's got to be obvious our genetic code has probably been altered over eons of time. And the creation of a race of alien human hybrids has been one of the terrestrials, the extraterrestrials' key projects here on Earth. And they've been successful. Hybrids walk among us today. I'm mm-hmm. confident in saying that. Most look and sound and feel just like us. The two key differences are their psychic abilities and the intentions of the malevolent ones to occupy positions of power here on Earth.
And quickly, the ones that are different, do they know that they're different, or do they not know that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so their intentions are whatever their intentions might be. Okay, we're going to take a break here. We're talking with Will Champion, author, speaker, conspiracist. Got all sorts of goodies he's telling us, huh? Will Champion here, and Connie Willis. More to come on Coast to Coast AM.